There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
It's estimated that voodoo, the voodoo religion, has been around for close to 10,000 years, popularized once it came over into the United States and mixing with a number of different religions and different sects. It seems to evolve and change wherever it ends up. We've got a very interesting guest with us this evening, and for those of you that are fans of sci-fi and all of the magic and mystic shows, a few weeks back, there's a new show called Sci-Fi Investigates, where they went to New Orleans, where they wanted to dig into a little bit more about voodoo, find out about it, and I was reacquainted with somebody I recognized. Actually, took this tour about 8-9 years ago when I was out in New Orleans. There was a lady that took us through the haunted sections of New Orleans, told us all the background and history, and gave us quite a bit of information regarding voodoo. Now that we're coming into the Halloween season, I thought it'd be kind of an interesting little take to take our listeners on to the myths and legends and monsters that have made Halloween what it is. And one of the things that we don't usually talk about at Halloween is voodoo. So this evening I ask that beautiful blonde that we saw on TV a few weeks ago, Miss Bloody Mary, to join us. She's an initiated mambo of authentic Haitian voodoo. She's a reigning voodoo queen of New Orleans tradition. She weaves into her practices the wisdom of Celtic, Native American, and spiritualist paths. Bloody Mary is a professional seer. She's in constant communication with the spirits through workshops, rituals, psychic readings, dream visions, astral travel, and ghost hunts with her company, Bloody Mary's Tours. She's got decades of dedicated spirit work and a lifetime of mysticism. Bloody Mary works magic for all those on the lives that she touches. Tonight we're going to discuss the history and misconceptions of voodoo and magic. Bloody Mary will also speak to us about the post-Katrina New Orleans and its new haunted history. If you're interested in more information about Bloody Mary, you can check out her website at www.bloodymarystours. That's Bloody Mary's, MarysTours.com. There you'll find information on all of her tours, background, and to arrange for psychic readings. Right now, we'd like to welcome to the darkness on the edge of town, Bloody Mary. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for joining us here this evening.
I'd be glad to.
Now, this is interesting. As I was doing research and have learned more and more about voodoo, I guess I didn't realize that they can actually predate a lot of this going back as far as 10,000 years.
And I guess probably even farther, but of course, most being an oral tradition, there's not written documents, which is all that people like to use as scholarly evidence. It's, you know, rich in oral history.
Like most people that are out there, most of us have gotten the information about voodoo from television, movies, and Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Right, exactly. And, it's always the black arts and always darkness and evil reigns with the voodoo power. And, of course, that's not what voodoo is or what it was meant to be at all. Is that correct?
Correct. It's a shamanistic, you know, religion based in Africa with a heavy religious attitude towards the spirits and serving the loa, or the spirits, as well as getting things, needs met on a physical plane, which would be more what we call here Yahoodoo.
Okay.
So, yeah, I always say you can practice hoodoo without voodoo, but not voodoo without hoodoo.
Now, let me ask you real quickly, as we're delving into this world. Now, I guess it was just as I was doing some looking, I guess in April of 2003, Haiti's government finally officially sanctioned voodoo as a religion, which is, boy, bringing us into the new century, huh? It only took till 2003 to recognize a religion that had been going on there since the 1600s.
Governments always have a tendency to do so. Something that's been there forever. I mean, you have to at least you can't govern something until you actually recognize it. That's the backwards trick of, you know, recognizing something politically.
Now, so much of what voodoo is now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not its truest form. It's not what it was. It was called voodoo, or I don't know how the proper pronunciation of it was. It used to be V-O-O-D-U-N.
Semantics and words, okay, and different pronunciations through different years. I mean, Vudan was a word, actually, that translated from the Dahomean language long ago, which was meaning God or spirit force, which is in everything. It wasn't called, let's say, that originally, but it became known as that more as it entered into the then known as New World.
Let me ask you this. It sounds like from the things that we've read and seen and doing actual studying on voodoo that it almost mirrors a lot of what Wicca or witchcraft is.
It's very similar. And, of course, as it entered into this country and other countries, it met Europeans who had brought their versions of worship of nature. And these did mix because they were very similar. As all religions are different from their roots, you know, you evolve, you bring in what works. So it's very similar. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar.
Now, voodoo actually found its way. Do you think that New Orleans is one of the epicenters still for active voodoo?
Oh, definitely.
Or are there other states throughout the country that we're not as familiar with?
Oh, of course. I mean, every state in the country, of course, would have little bits of it, some more than others. But this is the historic place where it has been from, you know, the beginning of our town. And, of course, you've got, you know, New York, Miami, Philadelphia, and spatterings about in California here and there. As far as official houses, I couldn't tell you numbers or statistics, but
sure,
it's here and there. And plus there's a sister religion of Santeria, which, of course, came over more with the Spanish-speaking influenced people. And, you know, that's very popular and very close to voodoo.
When it was imported here into the United States, it came over with the slave ships, correct?
Correct.
The African slave ships, they brought it over, and it became a mix of the Creole or the French colonies, right, in the Caribbean, and then the African upbringing along with some Christianity, is that correct? It's all tied together, it seems.
It's very tied together with Catholicism, basically, because, first of all, the missionaries had already been through Africa, and a very long time ago in the tribes, anytime something new was brought in, it would be accepted like trade, and you have, you know, new knowledge, let us bring it in. It's a very embracing religion. So sort of stop and saying, no, mine is better than yours must be evil. It would say, sure, bring that in, it's great, bring that in, we understand, we you know, it was more incorporative instead of competitive.
Well, let's talk about some of the different misconceptions of voodoo. I mean, as I said, for the most part, most people believe voodoo to be black magic and dark arts.
Mm-hmm.
When voodoo came here, what exactly was it? I mean, we've read. I mean, a lot of the history does tell you that a lot of people used it for
the history.
Right, exactly. A lot of it was used for negative force, but that's not what its initial intent was, or
it wasn't
what it was
used for that
popularized.
When it came here either. It was used by an enslaved people to try to get some of their power, their food, you know, whatever they could. And a large part of it was the healings, especially here in New Orleans, where slavery was much more open than anywhere in this country, and way more open than it was in Haiti. You would have the Africans being relied on as healers. Their herbal knowledge was very, you know, very much needed. And when you're depending on someone, at least at that point in history, you can't afford to be hypocritical. So it was open. It was much more open back then here. We had the highest mortality rate in North America with plague here for two centuries. Everyone dabbled in an aspect of voodoo, whether they knew it or not.
All right.
And still do, really.
Now, in your culture, in the voodoo culture and in America, one of the biggest queens or voodoo priestesses was Marie Laveau, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she was born in like 1794, the early or late, almost early 1800s. Is that right?
Well, it depends on which one you're talking about, but yeah.
Oh, there's more than one Marie Laveau?
Many of Marie Laveaus, but the one main Marie Laveau would be the Widow Paris, which has more historic information on her. There was, family before her and after her, many with the same name that continued on the practice. My grandmother was actually delivered by Marie Laveau. She lived across the street in a cottage in St. Anne, which is where the Marie Laveaus, the main three, lived, the Widow Paris and the two after.
Okay, now you say the Widow Paris. It was that
the
name that took on?
That was her husband's name.
Okay, all right. Now they were they all related, all three of these?
Yes, daughters.
Daughters of each, okay.
There was daughters, there was a few, you know, there was grandmothers and aunts and a variety of others in there, but you have to realize almost everyone's name, first name in New Orleans was Marie.
Right.
You went by your middle name because it was very Catholic and that was just the first name. And you went by your familiar middle name in between the family. So you will find many Marie Laveaus of of many races when you look in books here.
Let me know this. Now, Marie Laveau, I mean, according to a lot of the histories and stories, she kind of took over being the voodoo priestess by bullying ways.
No.
Okay. What is the truth as you know it?
Well, I mean, she was Anadana lineage. It was a family tradition. There were many other people vying for title, perhaps, at the time, but a show of power or, you know, who was the best was the one that ended up being queen. I think many people tried to usurp her power, and there are many tales of her just, you know, basically either getting them kicked out of town or making them get down on all fours and bark like a dog. Oh, how much of that is truth or legend, you know, of course, cannot be recorded, but she was very, very strong in her power. And you were, you know, it's very, she was handed down that, not exactly voted, I suppose, wouldn't be the correct way, but you know when you're going to be next in line. The spirits tell you, and everyone else in town knows.
So there wasn't the history, as I said. We're trying to get through some of the mm-hmm. BS and get to
the
real
stuff. I think it was more after the fact that she was queen, maybe people coming in trying, they got a little more attention, trying to take it away from her.
So you don't believe she used the blackmail?
Get to that position.
Okay, she didn't use blackmail and bribery to kind of gain her power and her position in this hierarchy, correct?
Not in voodoo, but I'm sure she wasn't against it politically.
Okay.
Politically at the time, I mean, to get certain things
Are you
done,
trying to instill in us the fact that politicians may use bribery and blackmail?
Oh, my God, not in this town.
Oh, come on. All right.
Oh, we wish that things like that might have went away with Katrina. Maybe they did. We're still hoping.
Well, but I wanted to ask you, some of the stuff that I thought was so fascinating, some of these dark, creepy things that you have, you've got a little museum there, correct?
I used to work with a museum. No, I'm more independent now.
All right, but you would talk about
but
the different things.
But I got dark, creepy things at home.
And you had you were talking about voodoo dolls. And I thought this was really an interesting thing, and I'd like to enlighten our listeners on it. The voodoo dolls weren't actually used to do damage.
I have 150 of them due by tomorrow that I'm sitting in a sea of moss as we speak.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. What did you use voodoo dolls for? What is the actual incarnation or intention for a voodoo doll?
It depends on – this one is more for, you know, protection and love and healing. That's what this whole grouping is for. It's for a group of people coming to town to understand more about voodoo, and it's a blessing that you carry with you. The pins and misconceptions on TV are, you know, again, more of Hollywood. Every culture that you can look back has some kind of doll in their closet. Hollywood aptly named it voodoo doll instead of just the doll. There's the pop hat in, you know, the European traditions. There's a boupe in German. There were dolls listed in Catholicism and Judaism. I mean, all of them have this aspect of the device to focus and direct energies through. In a homeopathic method, you could make it become a person by adding hair, nails, pictures, etc. But hopefully it's for healing and focusing. A lot of them are used for love rituals.
When you had the voodoo doll and you mm-hmm. had headaches, the pins applied were actually supposed to help with the energy, right?
It could.
And it was supposed to go into the head or the heart or the stomach or things that were
hurting.
Well,
it depends on what you're trying to do.
Healing.
If you use pins at all, which isn't necessary, it's to focus and direct energy. Like you said, if there was... But like a knife that you could cut cheese with, you could also cut a person with. There are always humans out there that are looking for personal gain. That's mm-hmm. not dictated by any religion, but I'm not saying people don't do it. It's frowned upon because it'll come back at you anyway. That's ridiculous. Try to heal the person. So a pin in the head might affect thought. Pin in the organ might try to heal the problem. A pin in the pocket might be to gain prosperity. A pin in the private parts might make you faithful.
Okay.
It's not to hurt the particular part.
Okay.
It's to focus and direct the energies and home them in back where they're supposed to be.
All right, you're just giving a target to where you want the energies to go.
Right.
Now, so much of what I've heard about from voodoo is that it's more the power of persuasion. What's the word I'm looking for here? It's more the if you don't believe in it, it can't have a hold on you.
Yeah.
So if somebody's
true.
Using a voodoo doll and they're trying to help you and heal you, do you have to know about it in order for it to work?
Well, frankly, it is always better for you to accept the healing because no matter how much somebody tries to heal you, if you're holding on to the pain and the problems, which so much of us do from whatever past hurts or future fears are, it's even like when you do energy work like Reiki, you have to have the person let go of that pain. However, you can heal people without them knowing it.
All right. You can,
and you can harm people without them knowing it. You don't have to believe in it for it to work, but it will work better if you did.
We'll be right back with more with Bloody Mary right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Mi amo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Mommy!
Leave me alone!
Do you have ghosts?
Do you have dreams?
Do you have an interest in the unknown? Want to know more about the paranormal? Come and join us in Para Investigators, the 24/7 online paranormal chat. Visit us today at InfinityParanormal.com and tell us what's been keeping you up in the dark.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between me and you, sir.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And
the
greedy.
Taps Paramag takes you to
wherever you go on purpose.
From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trend technology, the field of the paranormal, to join our journey, we're at TapsParamag.com.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the 7-bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Just might open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
Barb Powell, medium and psychic of Sacred Connections, is hosting a Halloween special on readings. On October 29th, consultations will only be $65 for a one-hour session. This also includes the taped CD and aura drawing sent out to you by mail. For more information, please view her at www.sacred-connections.us. Again, that's sacred-connections.us. And visit the Halloween special link for more details. These specials tend to go quickly. Phone or email for more details. We're back on the darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Bloody Mary. She's from New Orleans, and she runs a ghost tour and voodoo information. You've seen her probably on any number of one-off specials on Discovery Channel or Sci-Fi, talking about voodoo and the histories of the hauntings that take place in the New Orleans section. This evening we brought her on to talk a little bit about voodoo, talk a little bit about the misconceptions and beliefs of voodoo. And one of the things I mentioned or I wanted to talk about as I'm reading through the information, it looks like it's a very family-oriented religion, if you will, with, the mama versions and papa versions of the religious leaders. I mean, Mamoli and...
Mamaloi
and Papaloi, right?
Mambo is what I'm initiated at. Mamaloi would have been an older term occasionally used in New Orleans, but here it was more referred to as queen.
Okay, so it's more of a maternal and paternal leaders, right? You have male and female leaders, and it had that very mom and pop feel to it, I'm getting.
Yeah, probably more so a while back than now, because it kind of went underground at the beginning of the 20th century. Things that were accepted, prior to the Civil War and still holding on after the Civil War kind of went away to more modern things, hidden spiritualist churches, and small, quiet family traditions as opposed to the big openness that it used to be for everyone.
So you're
starting to get back there again, though.
So you are a high priestess in voodoo, right? What does that entail? What does that allow you to do?
Or what does it allow me to do? It allows me
exactly
to have a lot more responsibility and a lot less sleep.
Okay. Because
a lot more
the education out? Or what exactly are you doing? What exactly are you doing with this? I mean, other than your tours and such? I mean, do you...
The tours is kind of like my day job.
Okay.
More of a history and introduction. I do a lot of healings and readings. I do a lot of, past life regression, psychic connections, make gree gree bags, voodoo dolls, do work with people to help them connect with their spiritual place in life. Right now I'm very busy, very, very busy helping clear some of the problems in New Orleans from Katrina.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I want to come back from our next break.
You work
with
community. You work with the spirits. You work with the dead. I work with the dead a lot.
Now, do you have the ability to marry people? Are you like a priestess that way?
Say it again?
Do you have the ability or the authority to marry people?
I do a lot of weddings.
Baptisms, things like that?
I do a lot of weddings. I do baptisms with my house that I'm with on St. John's Eve at the Bayou. That's every year you do a rebaptism on St. John's Eve. There's all sorts of things. Now, they don't call it high priestess per se in voodoo. They call it mambo in the Haitian voodoo, and they call it queen in New Orleans. But it's essentially like a high priestess, yes. That's the highest, you know, level, let's say, that you could be initiated in.
Well, now, this is the 21st century, Mary. We're, you know, facing a whole new level of technology and understanding of the science of the way things work in the world. Mm-hmm. And it seems that the more we learn about technology and the more we learn about science, the less impact things of magic and voodoo and witchcraft seem to have a hold on America, although it seems to be becoming more popular. Or do you think it's just coming out of the closet
now? I don't think that's enough inside for people these days anymore. The science doesn't cut it for most people. There's a resurgence towards understanding the spiritual connection and the connection to Earth itself. And if we don't get that connection, you know, the race may not survive too long. We have to heal each other instead of kill each other.
What is it that you want to share with the listeners this evening and the people that will download this podcast later on to hear it when they're driving in their car and listening to it in their iPod while they're out jogging? Because, you know, and again, I mean this with no disrespect, but in the 21st century, a lot of people probably roll their eyes and look at you like you're a nut. Voodoo and magic, there's no, you know, in so many minds, there's no place for this now. What can we take from you this evening to help us understand voodoo and what it empowers and what it can do to help not only us but the world around us that doesn't just come off like a bunch of mumbo jumbo?
Well, first of all, mumbo jumbo actually translates to mean magician who makes the trouble spirits of ancestors go away. Isn't that interesting?
Wow. So, I need one of those for my mother-in-law when she comes to visit.
But besides all that,
sure.
From a political standpoint or save the world kind of standpoint, it can show that religions can get along since it's a religion that's been around from the beginning. It's only incorporated other religions instead of trying to push them away, never warring because of them, never, you know, killing because of them, all those types of things. That's a very important lesson learned. The other lesson is to try to connect on your own to spirituality, whatever your path may be. People are fighting over the path, but the center is the same. When we begin to embrace all of those things, the spirits around, the collective consciousness, the beauty in everyone, all the things that are out there, we will be a more evolved society. Not just technology is great, but it also kind of, you know, pushes us in the corner, not doing things for ourselves anymore. We have to stop and connect with what is out there. And voodoo is a very good way.
What can you share with us about voodoo's theory on what happens to us after we die?
What happens to you after you die? Well, there is, of course, a belief in reincarnation. It's not set down as some of the, in black and white, as many of the other ones. But our spirit will continue to grow spiritually after death. And we can connect with friends and loved ones here. So you pray for the spirits after death. They pray for you. You will still work together. They're still all around you, the energies. The ancestors are an extremely important part of the pantheon. So death is only a physical form. The spirit will still live on and evolve and hopefully be able to reconnect with everyone here.
Do you believe that it goes on to a greater, you know, the greater happy hunting ground, you know, heaven, hell, wherever, you know, people want to believe? Or do you believe that the spirit is just left here in a discorporate state or discorporeal state and is able to communicate with us and do these things?
Well, there's a belief in two souls in each of you, according to voodoo, and many religions have this kind of theory. One is, let's say, the higher soul, the God soul that you were born with, that evolves through many different lifetimes and hopefully through every, you know, through the lifetime that you're in now. Then there's the lesser soul. This is called the Tibon Ange and the Gros Bon Ange, the lesser soul. And not that it's lesser in perfection, it's the soul of personality, okay, that you exist with in this lifetime. That is the part of the greater soul that can stay around as long as loved ones are in need, as long as there's generations that remember them, as long as, you know, there's a need for them to come by and help. But it's still part of the greater soul, which can be, that's how you can keep being reborn.
Hmm. You know,
that's
interesting.
They call it lesser and higher soul in the Chinese faith. They call it Tibonage, Gros Bonange. That's the little good angel and the big good angel.
When I was recently at Penn State College, there was a big paranormal conference that was going on there called UNIFCON, and they bring paranormal speakers from all over the United States there, and, and paranormal aficionados that want to learn more about it can show up. And I was speaking to a gentleman, and I apologize. First name is Matt, and I can't remember his last name. I apologize for butchering this, or I won't lay any claim to this theory, but he had an interesting theory about what ghosts are, and it almost seems to tie in with what the voodoo version is to a different degree. His theory stemmed from the fact that he was always concerned with the way that ghosts made contact with us. It always seems to be banging or lights flickering or, you know, one or two guttural phrases. And, you know, it seemed almost animalistic left behind. And his theory was that when we die, his belief would be that there's an essence. And the best of the essence, the pure point, goes up to wherever it's going next or evolves to its next level. And the crap kind of stays behind. And that's why these things will respond to us more in an angry or bitter or envious or jealous. It seems to be the junk that's left behind from a spirit. And it almost sounds like you're saying a lesser God, you know.
No, I'm saying lesser doesn't mean lesser as in
I know
God
that, but I'm just saying
pure.
This is almost like a separation like that, where it's kind of like the one section stays behind while the rest can continue and evolve. And that's what may explain how people can, if you believe in reincarnation, can be reincarnated yet still haunt the home that they lived in at one point.
Right. And I can haunt the, I mean, you can haunt the home that you lived in as a kid because a piece of you can. There's so many levels of this. I don't believe that only the junk is left behind, though I believe in some cases it can be, but not certainly not only. The electrical fancies and problems and bangs are maybe simplistic ways, but a lot of it's just energy interferences. I mean, you know, I'm going to go make commercials for those five-year-long bulbs in my house because they go out every 3 months, you know. we're going to make money over this somehow.
That's right.
But, you know, there's so many different theories on that. I talk more than grunts and bangs with ghosts. I see them. I get pictures. I have entire conversations with ancestors. And that's why I don't sleep sometimes. But I understand what he's saying, but it certainly isn't the only way. It's similar to what I'm saying, but right now, you have an oversoul, if you want to look at it that way, a God soul. The higher evolution point of the perfection that you can be with each lifetime that you're trying to get, hopefully, trying to get closer and closer to that goal, to bring those unities together. Your oversoul has had many past lives, and you can retrieve them and integrate them into the present to become your more perfect state. And those souls can give you messages and help you, as well as, you know, maybe haunt you.
Okay.
But yeah,
now you said that
you're
able to do these communications, you're able to do readings, and sometimes that's what keeps you awake. Are you unable to turn these things off when they're coming at you?
I can sometimes, but not lately. It just depends. At night, I do a lot of work in my sleep, a lot of astral travels, a lot of past life, a lot of information. I do it just as much in the daytime, and you know, I try to turn it off sometimes a day when I'm just wanting to be left alone or, you know, whatever. But the farther you get, the higher of maybe an initiation you get, you have a responsibility to help others and to share. And, you know, it's part of the job. It's not an easy job because you feel, I mean, as an empath, too, I mean, I feel all the pain. And believe me, there's more pain right here in this town lately than it's very overwhelming here right now. So it's harder now to sleep.
I would guess with all the healing going on and all the
problems and feeling
horrific
everyone
deaths,
banks,
right.
And, you know, it's and other things that were uprooted, let's say, you know, it's very difficult.
Well, where do you think voodoo is going to be? Is this going to be something that's going to continue to evolve and be more accepted, like Catholicism or Lutheranism or methodology? I mean, or do you believe that this is going to be still a closeted religion and you know, a few will share it? I mean, there's 250,000 Haitian refugees that live in New York City alone that practice this. I mean, this seems like it's boiling under the surface and nobody's really noticing it, or nobody wants to take notice of it is maybe what I'm noticing a little bit more.
I don't know. It just seems more and more people are fascinated about it. More and more people are trying to find out about it. I mean, to me, it's just the opposite. I mean, I'm was negotiating with many networks for my own show about things like this. But again, you know, they're a concept of reality, and what reality is and what we do are two different things. You know, they want to make it something else. So many.
It's when they want Mary running around the streets, blowing dust in people's faces, turning them into zombies.
Nice.
Come to my tour. No.
I'm sure they'd love that. You know, like, but don't you think you should be more like this? I said, you want the reality? Let me. You know, so I was negotiating with all these people and their concepts, and that show that we just did on Sci-Fi was very difficult, but they edited a little bit to their own needs, but not too bad compared to a lot of them, the one that you were talking about earlier.
Well, personally, I think you're being snobby because you won't walk around naked covered in goat's blood just to satiate TV, okay, Mary?
Blood sacrifice isn't really that much a part of New Orleans voodoo. It's a part of Haitian voodoo where they still kill chickens every night and put it on the dinner table. I mean, we go to the grocery store.
You know, some of the stuff that I found, I want to talk a little bit about that I thought was interesting. And, you know, we'll do that in a minute. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to you, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then I want to talk about what's going on after post-Katrina.
Sure.
All right, we'll be right back with more with Bloody Mary right after this.
I am Greenlock 6, and when I am in your galaxy, I listen to Dave and Tim on the darkness on the edge of Tau.
Do you love to travel? Do you love to explore the paranormal? Then join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis from Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show as we take our show on the road. January 14th and 17th, we'll be going to sunny Long Beach, California to investigate one of the top five haunted spots in the world, the haunted Queen Mary. Joining us on our journey are the lovely ladies of TV's The Ghost Hunters, Donna McCoy and Lisa DeBarge, paranormal investigator Patrick Burns from Court TV's hit new show, Haunting Evidence, and psychic-sensitive Chris Fleming from Dead Famous on the Biography Channel. Together, we'll explore the mysteries and history of this famous floating haunted playground. Joining us will be some other special guest speakers and authors. It's a great chance to meet others that are involved in the paranormal and share your interests. For more information and prices, visit our website at darknessradio.com, then click the Trips tab, then click on the Queen Mary. Remember to check back for information on upcoming trips as well. And tune in live each Sunday night to hear a new episode with Dave and Tim and their guests covering all aspects of the paranormal on the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pipp at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6 2- and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resorts are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at RockyShoresResort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Do you want to take charge of your life? We all have our demons we want to get rid of. This is Russ Clark. My Hypnosis CD series will help you take charge of your life and kick those demons out. Thousands of people have made personal improvements through the power of hypnosis. Your success is guaranteed by me, or I will refund 100% of your investment. To kick those demons or to add relaxation into your life, visit my website, www.powerhypnosis.net.
Mommy! Leave me alone!
Do you have ghosts?
Do you have dreams?
Do you have an interest in the unknown? Want to know more about the paranormal? Come and join us in Para-Investigators, the 24-7 online paranormal chat. Visit us today at InfinityParanormal.com and tell us what's been keeping you up in the dark.
two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar, point at them and yell, "Boo!" One of the ghosts yells back, "Boo-hoo!" And the ghost at the bar yells back, "Well, you don't have to cry about it." Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Voodoo's the topic this evening in the darkness on the edge of town, and our guest is from New Orleans. She's known as Bloody Mary, and if you have more interest in Bloody Mary or finding out about the tours and ghost hunts that she leads, you can check out her website at BloodyMarysTours.com, and that is the plural version of Mary, so you can go to BloodyMarysTours.com to get more information about her there. Before we went to the break, we were kind of talking about the different things that have been going on in the world of voodoo and some of the misconceptions. And just for a little fun here, I want to mention something. I was looking up information regarding one of the voodoo spells on love, and I want to know if you've ever heard of this one. And at least, we can give the ladies in the audience something to work with here.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, it's hilarious. Come on. If a woman wants
to... Gotta be about menstrual blood.
Well, that's part of it.
Okay. If you're a psychic, I am.
You are good. If a woman wants a man to fall in love with her, she may serve him food containing a piece of bacon she has kept in her shoe for 3 days, or laced with her hair clippings or menstrual blood. If a woman wants a divorce, she'll sprinkle magic powder about the house that is said to cause quarrels. A powder to defeat an enemy can be made from dead man's bones, and if the corpse of an enemy's relative can be dug up, it can be used to perform strong magic. Smearing an enemy's door with human dung can cause him great anxiety, and a great number of potions and incantations can cause them great harm.
But people do that at Halloween with the dung, right?
Oh, I don't think it was just Halloween. We used to light the dog.
Oh, that was any time of the year.
Oh, yeah. That's whenever we were in a rambunctious mood. But so what? Bacon that's been in your shoe for 3 days, that sounds like something off of Burger King menu.
I'm sure somebody came up with that. That's not voodoo. Now, first of all, remember that voodoo is the religion of serving the loa and the spirits, your connection with the world, okay? Mm-hmm. With the spirit world, with the divine archetypes within you, feeding them, blah, blah, blah. Hoodoo, or the folk magic version, which every different culture has their hand in, would be getting your needs met on the physical plane. And as I mentioned in my joking way, which was very serious, you can practice the hoodoo without the voodoo, but not the voodoo without the hoodoo.
Okay.
Because getting your needs met on the physical plane is part of things, and that's where you get all these little folk things from. As far as the bacon in your shoe, I would not suggest that. but any kind of food, and this has been known, especially in the South, and I taught about this. If you heard my tour 8-9 years ago, I'm sure you heard a lot of this from me, right, about the blood and the food.
Yep.
I would say that on tours, like, not supposed to be 9 drops of your menstrual blood in the man's food, and, he will be all mesmerized and at your control.
Yeah, everything tastes better on a Ritz, Aunt B.
That's when I had some people on my tour that said, yep, and then you like this one. It's like no spaghetti sauce and no catfish, because no catfish in the summer, because catfish menstruate.
Oh, really?
Is the only fish that do. So, yes, a lot of people are very aware of this. And if you're finished your time of your period, there are other sacred body fluids you can use. And for just your own knowledge, there are sacred body fluids inside men that you could use for the reverse effect as well.
Don't you think it's stuff like that, though, that makes people think that this is just such a archaic...
Yeah, but that's not the religion, per se. Okay. That's the folk remedy aspect, the hoodoo, that's different. But the power of menstrual blood can be traced back to the beginning of time, not letting women around. This is in every religion, in the Judaic religion. You couldn't be, unclean, not let her around. I mean, there's been a power and a fear of that for a long time. Does it work? Have I done it? Maybe. Really empowered.
Maybe. Maybe.
Actually, I did that. I made a guy on Italian MTV on a show called Cook with Musicians drink a Bloody Mary I made with that. He enjoyed it, but anyway.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. I'm sure there's been red wings in your diet before.
No. Oh, good God. Anyway, let's go to this.
We're not talking about sex, are we?
Zombies. How about zombies?
The number one reason that people do hoodoo or psychic things are, of course, for love issues. And it's not limited to just women wanting control or wanting to keep someone faithful or around. These are things that have been passed down for generations, and they're not really advised or done that much anymore, but they do exist. The knowledge of them, whether you're voodoo or not, is very much on the Southern man's mind, because they've heard that from their grandmas, and they've heard that from their great-grandmas.
What can we do, Mary, if we want to protect ourselves? Or should I call you Bloody, or... Bloody Mary BM. No, maybe
don't
BM,
call me that. Okay. Rub it across.
That's right. what something people can take away if they need to protect themselves? Salt. I feel like they're being attacked. Just salt?
Salt has always been the most archaic, the very simplest, easiest way to protect yourself. Sea salt or, you know, earth salt.
What do you do with it?
You could carry it. You could put it in the corners of your home. I mean, that's a basic one for protection. I mean, there's tons of other things. The old garlic certainly works, too, but salt is the more accepted one. Even the Catholics bless the salt, put them in the homes.
All right. Now, let's talk real quick. We've got about 10 minutes left here. Well, maybe sure. Not even, but we've got some time. I want to talk about zombies, and then we'll go to Katrina and the post-New Orleans after.
I have the Weekly World News in front of me right now, and an alien mummy goes on a rampage at the cover.
Excellent. We have him on the show next week.
Part of my Halloween costume. We can make fun of this.
Exactly. Now, zombies, though. The term zombie, everybody, of course, equates to the George Romero movies of a flesh-eating human that's come back to life. Actually, zombies do have a grounding in voodoo, correct? I mean, it's a dust made by a certain pufferfish.
Well, there's a concept of it. Okay, there's actually several different kinds of zombies. One is the astral zombie, which is the more accepted one. Again, we were talking about the two souls, right?
Right.
The removal of one of the souls after death by the priest in order to, you know, maybe serve the house, or the zombie astral, as that is, to protect it, to serve the house, to maybe, you know, pay for crime, whatever it may be, or maybe just to protect it, would be the zombie astral. It's using a part of the astral part of you, all right? The one that's so loved and known is the chemical zombie, which they also say can be cured with a few grains of salt. So just carry your salt. Basically, I have this memorized. Two toads and a blowfish make a zombie, true. Lifting the poisonous skin off of a toad and mixing it in with the neurotoxin poison of the blowfish can be ground into a powder that could be slipped into the pipe that is smoked quite regularly or absorbed through the skin. A variety of methods, and then a catatonic state would develop that would simulate death. After an exact allotted amount of time that the Bukur knew, the male supposedly black magician priest, which is still debatable, he would go to the grave and then pull the soul out. The soul comes through the mouth. As soon as he called the person from the grave and he answered, he'd grab that soul and then he'd have the zombie slave that did his bidding. Now, this is not part of the traditional voodoo practice. Originally in Africa long ago, there were certain execution rites that were done for criminals that used these powders to determine guilt or innocence. This was a method when there were no jails or courthouses in order to determine if the person lived, then maybe, you know, he was innocent. If he died, they'd use there was a variety of methods that would occur during certain ordeals that were going through to determine guilt or innocence. Now, because these powders were used in one way and highly held by the high priest, didn't mean that someone who wanted personal gain wouldn't get those powders to use on unsuspecting people. This was crime and or drug abuse, but not the religions per se. And as I always mention, all religions, even the ones that are in the news quite a lot lately, they do things that are not necessarily part of the religious beliefs of that system. Mm-hmm. It is the part of human nature that is wrong that does things like this, not the religion per se.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts and stories with us on voodoo. I want to wrap up while we have some time here because I think it's important. You're still part of the culture there. Things are still struggling in New Orleans. People, I think they think that it's a year or so later here, and the football team's back there, so everything must be okay in New Orleans.
You know, actually, that was a better day here. We thought it might be Mardi Gras, Jazz Fest, the energy return, something with reopening the Superdome. That energy gave this town a nice little lift.
Good.
Well, at least made it forget about the problems for a little while, you know.
How is the overall energy now in New Orleans?
It's a little bit better than it was a few months ago, but it's still got its darkness. There's still so many people in pain, so much anger.
From the living or the dead?
The living. The dead, unfortunately, we have a lot less ghosts than we did here before Katrina. A lot different ones now. A lot of the dead evacuated, and I'm not even joking about that. I believe that many of them did get to go beyond, but I think many of them went to travel to protect with the families that left here, too. So there's lots of other icky things that were unleashed since the storm, which I'm contending with, some more negative energies, which I do not think are ghosts.
Tell us about them.
Well, I'm still in pretty heavy working with it, but I would say some archaic beings, as I use the word ghost, as most paranormal people do, to be a generic term, for not all of them are living. There are many multi-dimensions that coexist with us out there, and some of them would be able to pass through easier. There was some sort of unleashing, some tear in a cosmic curtain, if you will, that lets some very unusual things through here, which many of them need to be sent away, and many of them need to be reformed or reblended in. Haven't quite finished or pinpointed yet, but trust me, there's a lot of things here that aren't that pretty.
You know, it's interesting because I've heard people talk in a post 9/11 New York that when that happened, that they seem to think that there's some kind of terror that occurred because of the traumatic, the massive traumatic event that happened.
There's definitely no doubt about it here. I mean, these are things that aren't. It's hard to even explain them in a few minutes, but there are the many things that are now about. But one real interesting tidbit I'll tell you. When I came back and I snuck in earlier than I was supposed to into my neighborhood because I didn't care that they wouldn't let me. Plus, I wanted to check on the graveyards, my house, my cat, my family, you know. True ghost town. There was absolutely no energy in this town. The whole spirit of place or the energy of New Orleans is weakened, if not gone. There's a new one that's brewing, but there was nothing here. No energy, no ghosts, just a true ghost town. Slowly crawling back. But when I finally got to get back to my house and got electric on and got the water out, you know, it was a good 6 months later. And tons of ghost animals were in my house. I mean, I've seen them here and there before, but I mean, cats, dogs, frogs, my kid, my husband, everybody saw them. Lost animals, very confused, dead animals, ghost animals, tons and tons of them. So they were more stuck here than the people that died in Katrina. Who are slowly coming back.
With your abilities, what's your belief that? Why do you believe the animals are stuck here?
I guess it was such a shock and so much of a... I don't know. I think the way that it happened, I'm not quite sure why they found me, I guess, was more strange and why they were still stuck here and visible. Because I think a lot of the spirits that died did go with their families. I mean, there's a lot of talk about haunted FEMA trailers now. You can laugh about that if you will, but there really is. I mean, wandering, you know, trailers in front of empty lots with passers through.
So when you see spirits, do you see them physically walking about?
Sometimes.
Okay, or is it
sometimes
just more
I
of a
hear
sense?
Them, sometimes I see them, smell them, all the different senses, depending on their ability of energy, you know, to manifest or not manifest.
Is there an
many
unbelievable
ways.
Amount of them looking back at you through the windows of homes that were ruined and
No, no, I mean, that was what the scary part is. It wasn't, but there were other kinds of things in there. There wasn't a lot of, because...
Are you talking demonics, lower-level entities that have taken
some
over?
Some of those, but some that aren't real, lots of those, too, but some of those that... Some that aren't really even categorized yet, just weird things.
Things that just don't belong here is what your opinion is.
What?
Things that just don't belong in this realm, in this plane?
Well, from what I've gotten from them, it's things that have not been in our plane for thousands of years, but they have been here before.
Okay.
Some of them are easy to talk to. Some of them are angry, violent. They're cut off from their dimension. They're lost. Lots of things. Lots of different types of things.
Well, Mary,
dimensional beings.
We're cutting out here in about a minute, and we're going to be going to our next guest, Rosemary Ellen Galley, to talk about vampires. And
oh, by the way, there's a lot of vampires here,
too. Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you. What vampires are out there? I mean, are these are just the teenage goth kids with fake clipping teeth? What exactly are you talking about that you have?
Devouring entities.
Devouring entities, okay.
Yes, and from a spiritual realm. Some you can put in demonic, but I think they don't necessarily belong there. This is something different that has taken... a lot of people's energies here, and that you have to fight. But besides that, I want to say that I am trying to record some of this from a different level than what all the reality shows and TV shows that edit you to death. So anybody out there that cares on investing on a real reality, independent film, three surviving Katrina or spirit realm change version, please give me a call.
That'd be great.
And come to New Orleans, and please... look up Bloody Mary or give me a call, because I do a lot of things online and on the phone and in person.
And you take them, besides giving them the history tour of voodoo, you take them through
ghost
tour.
I teach them how to connect with the spirits. I do workshops, too. I teach them how to take the ghost pictures and, you know, and I talk with them. And, you know, I don't do a scripted tour. I mean, maybe I'm more the day, would you said you went on the day tour with me?
No, it was an evening tour about 8, 9, 10 years ago, yeah.
Well, that's changed a lot over the years, too. So now it's all more interactive of teaching you how to and blessing you and bringing your spirit into it. And you know, everything evolves.
Well, I did enjoy the tour.
Hopefully the human race will too.
Yep. I did enjoy the tour. I'd recommend it for people that want to go out there. And again, they need your help out in New Orleans, so go out there and infuse them with a little business if you're going to do a trip.
Yes,
you could
use the energy. The positive energy is needed.
Mary, thank you very much for joining us this evening. We look forward to talking to you in the future. Let us know if any changes or any new things are going on out there, all right?
I certainly will.
All right, you have a great
night.
Thank
you.
Good night. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We're going to cut away. We'll be back at the top of the hour. We'll be talking about more myths and monsters when we talk to author Rosemary Ellen Guiley about vampires. We'll be right back right after this.